This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. You need good teachers if you want good education. But how do we assess the most effective teachers and how do we reward their efforts? Republican State Senator Jerry Tillman favors a merit-based system.
Why in the world can't you say your student performance is exemplary? You're also a great team member in this school and you contribute to the goals of our school and you work well with parents. In all of these areas, you deserve more money.
But many educators say that sets up a competitive system that works against collaboration in their schools, and they point to raising all teachers' base pay as a first step.
It needs to be done without creating an adversarial relationship among teachers. In addition to that, the base pay has to come up before you even start considering a value-added package.
That was Judy Kidd. She's a teacher in Charlotte Mecklenburg School District and president of North Carolina's Classroom Teachers Association. A teacher pay task force that was created last year by the state legislature met for the first time to talk about these issues. WNC education reporter Rima Crace was at that meeting and is with us now. Rima, welcome. Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Who's on that task force?
So it's an 18-member task force, and we see lawmakers from the House and the Senate, and we see education leaders and teachers and principals across the state. They just had their first meeting this week. There'll be a couple of other meetings up until April, and that's when they'll submit their recommendations to the General Assembly on how they can best pay teachers. So this week, we talked about the major thing that they talked about, as we said, is performance pay. And that's exactly what it sounds like. It is what it sounds like. It's paying teachers based on their performance. And so how do we do that? It's basically we look at their students, how their students do on exams, how they improve over the year. You know, we see Senate leaders like Jerry Tillman and other Republican lawmakers. They've been pushing that a lot since they came into the legislature, since Republicans came to the legislature in 2011. And it's been a bit controversial.
Yeah. So talk about that, because, again, the hard part is evaluating performance. And as you said, it seems to be based on, or at least the way the conversation is going now, based on test scores, how the students perform. And again, is this largely based on test scores? Is this what was the upshot of those conversations?
Right. So Senator Jerry Tillman said that any future pay evaluations will be based on test scores, how their students do on exams, and also that incorporates classroom observations, right? So principals coming in, administrators coming into the classrooms and seeing how teachers are doing. And as you can imagine, many educators say, you know, that's kind of subjective, and it's hard to do. And we've seen many of them say that it pits teachers against one another. It discourages collaboration and teamwork. And we've seen Republican leaders say, well, you know, it's logical.
Well, let's talk about that. Why does it pit teachers against one another? Why does this kind of performance model that the Senate in particular or the legislature is pushing toward, why would that pit teachers against one another?
Well, there aren't any specific models that they're talking about right now, but a lot of the teachers are looking at what's in place right now, which is a merit pay system, and it's the teacher contracts that just went through last year. They've been using this as an example to say, under these teacher contracts, which would replace teacher tenure, which is also known as career status, they would award the top 25% of teachers in each local district with annual bonuses and 500 annual bonuses and 4-year contracts. So they say, you know, how do we select these top 25% of teachers? And we're seeing a lot of teachers opting out of it right now, too.
Can they do that? Can they opt out of it? I mean, this is the state's system for education. They can't really organize. They can't have a union. It's not legal. So what does it mean to opt out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the state is giving teachers the option to opt out if they forego their tenure. Their teacher tenure. And teacher tenure, it's not what it sounds like. It's not, you know, lifetime job security. It's essentially gives teachers the right to a hearing if they're ever dismissed or demoted. So they're saying, you know, and that's going to be phased out in 2018. So they're saying, hey, if you just drop this right now, then you'll be eligible for these contracts. And so all the teachers will get either 1 or 2 year contracts. But like I said, the top 25% will get 4-year contracts.
And again, that's a system of evaluating. So one way to look at it is, I guess, as a teacher saying, well, if you're going to evaluate me based on teacher on how my students perform, I really don't have much of an incentive to help another teacher get her or his students to perform better because my pay depends on my kids doing better than your kids. That's where the competition comes in.
Exactly. Exactly. And they're saying that, education in many ways is based on collaboration and teamwork, right?
Well, and all the research suggests that collaboration is the key to better classroom performance. All of the best practices are based on collaboration. So on the surface, it seems that there might be a kind of disconnect between a system that doesn't promote collaboration and best practices.
Exactly.
And that's the argument. So tell us about Tim Barnsbeck. Who is he?
So Tim Barnsbeck is the president of the Professional Educators of North Carolina. And I talked with him at the meeting this week, and he had a lot to say.
We're judged on the success of our school. Our reading scores, our tests are judged on how well our scores do for our entire population of kids, not how we do individually as teachers. So if we are going to look at rewarding systematic success, it should be for the entire group of people who contribute to it, not just the top players in the game.
There you go. So again, talking directly about this question of competition over collaboration. But Senator Jerry Tillman, who is also at the conference, I take it disagrees. Let's listen to what he has to say.
You're either good, bad, average. If you put 1,000 neurosurgeons out there, 10% of them are going to be at the top, or 20. It's the way it is. And the good ones are going to be rewarded, and the bad ones will either be without tenure and will leave, or they'll stick around and they won't get the raises.
There you go. Good, bad, or not. Black and white. That's how that goes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you hear Tillman and other Senate and other Republican leaders saying it's just logical, right? You go to other industries and you see that employees are paid based on how well they do. They, for example, in the teacher contracts, which will replace, like I said, teacher tenure or career status, lots of Republican leaders, they cite a statistic that was back in 2011 and 2012, and they said only 17 people were fired. And so that's why we need to have a system in place where we can just keep the most effective teachers. And obviously, they say the tenure is not working.
Yeah. Well, some industries thrive on competition. Other industries thrive on collaboration. Knowing the difference would be key to knowing which process that you want to employ. So Governor McCrory has recently pledged to raise base salaries for teachers. How does that play into all of this?
Right. So he recently pledged to raise base salaries to $35,000. Currently, it's $30,800. So that would mean teachers early in their careers, if they are making less than $35,000, they will start making $35,000. And of course, this is just a pledge, which means that it'll still have to become law once he'll present it in the short session in May. But it's interesting because, you know, we see Governor McCrory and other Republican leaders say we want to raise base salaries, which lots of educators support. But of course, they say, well, how about teachers that are later in their careers? How do we,
right,
you know, give them raises? Right. What are we going to do for them? So it's interesting to see how Republican leaders now are not necessarily talking. Other Republican leaders are not necessarily talking about raising the base salary, but they're saying, okay, well, let's incentivize in some way. So we see that there are still somewhat, you know, there's some kinds of divisions within the Republican Party right now on the best ways to raise salaries. And it'll be interesting because this task force that we're talking about, they're going to be presenting their recommendations in May to the General Assembly, as I said. So, you know, and because they have control of both the Senate and the House, and, you know, obviously Republican Governor Pat McCrory, anything that they want, anything that they recommend has a, you know, it's likely
once
to go through.
Once they get it together, but
right,
they have to do that. And,
exactly.
And that's not
that's
clear
true.
that all Republicans, both in the administration and the legislature, have it together in terms of what they want, how they want to go forward. So we've been talking about state policy, but is there any role that individual school districts can play in this question of pay and incentive?
Right. So, you know, when we're talking about these salaries, we're talking about what the state gives this, what the state gives the teachers. But local districts do play a role. Most local districts add extra supplements to the salaries of teachers. So 11 districts actually don't, and they range. So some districts offer $100, some districts offer $6,000. The average is about $3,000. And they provide these supplements based on a teacher's experience, based on their credentials, if they are staffed and hard and subjects that they need the staffing. So, you know, we see local districts providing their own incentives. And we actually saw in the meeting, we saw two counties present the ways that they provide incentives. And a lot of it is through performance pay. And so, for example, we saw Guilford County. They've had a program in place now for almost 7 years. And they essentially try to get in high-performing teachers and schools that need the teachers the most in low-performing schools. And they provide incentives up to $8,000. And, you know, they say they've been effective. They say that, you know, we've staffed all of the teachers that we need in these low-performing schools. We've seen the tests go up, and we're successful.
Well, let me stop you there.
Right.
In those cases, everybody who's going to work in that school gets that bonus because that's the tough school to work in, right? So it doesn't go to the best teachers in that school. It goes to anybody who's going to work there.
Right, exactly. And obviously there are, you know, technicalities of, you know, which teacher, how much each teacher gets based on the subjects that they teach
and their experience. And also it would depend, I guess, county to county. You could have all the toughest schools because you're the poorest county in the state, which
sure.
means you may not have the money to actually pay those incentives.
Exactly, exactly. And that's a great point. Yeah, lots of school districts don't have that. And Tillman, Jerry Tillman, he acknowledged that, Senate leader, and he said, you know, maybe we need to find a way to make sure that those local districts do get the money.
Rima, always a pleasure. Thank you so
much. Thank you so much.
Rima Crace is an education reporter for WUNC. Just ahead, how art aids conflict in the Congo. We're listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.